Test 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, sir. We're at the door.
1, 2, 3, 4. Stick around. I'll tell you more.
Okay. Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. October 14th. That's 1-3-2007 to some people. Well, last night, Friday night, on the live show, we had a great time. It was a lot of fun. We had Sunflower and Jin, and that's D-J-I-I-N, from the Source family, an old group I used to hang out with, and they're going to be playing music, and a lot of celebrities are going to show up down here in Hollywood November 16th, so I'll put that up on the website. We had a great time last night, and I had studied with a previous father named Sarinja Baroy back in the early 70s. Actually, I would have been studying with him after Father Yon. He came later, yeah. And that he started out in 1965 as a Brahmin, son of a Brahmin king that moved over here from India. He used to run Standard Oil, and he had a big commune of great people, a lot of PhDs, a lot of very famous people in both these camps, even at that time. And because these two masters, they produced a lifestyle that was different, and a different agenda. One is get your ego out of the way. They both harped on that one big time, and went through extraordinary disciplines and yoga practices to help everybody learn that. These were not captive trips. There was things that you could come and go as you wanted, but everybody had so much fun, they just hung out, including me some of the time. So anyway, we're going to have David Icke on next week, and I'll be in New York, so that show will be pre-broadcast live show. We'll do that one on the 16th and play it, of course, on the 19th. So anyway, today's show is a recap on some cool stuff, and I'm going to talk about air pollution on the first section of the tape, and we're going to get into some drama and stuff and muscle testing and that on the second. So see if we can get Dr. Bell fired up here somewhere. You know how he is. He's always hanging out in the ethers. See where he went. Dr. Bell, where are you? You'll show up sooner or later, hopefully.
First of all, we got to understand how we are able to assimilate air. Now we're going into the production of energy to produce electricity later. This is what comes in now to cause the electricity to happen to us. We breathe in, and the air contains ions, positive or negative, goes into the bloodstream. Okay? Then it charges up the red blood cell, iron, which is made up of iron, copper, and protein, which I'll discuss in detail in a few minutes. The ions are magnetic and magnetize the blood. Now, when you magnetize blood, you can put a positive charge on it or a negative charge. It doesn't matter. The blood does not care. Let's say we put a negative ion on here. The negative ion goes up to the brain, and the moment that it reaches the brain, it's got a negative charge all over the brain in the Willis network. That's the way the flow of the blood goes from the lung. It should take 15 seconds to go from the lung up into the brain. Now what happens is positive energy comes from the outside and discharges into the brain, producing a positive feeling, and you feel good. Okay? That's euphoria. The moment of discharge of that is when consciousness occurs. So we are struck by consciousness. Now, if we breathe in a positive ion, we end up with a positive charge on the brain. Energy, negative energy comes. The feeling of consciousness is there, but the mood is down. You go down. You feel depressed. So, we're not saying that you're tapping into a good or bad principle of the universe. You're tapping into the principles of polarity of air. That's all. And if you're breathing positive ions, you're going to feel negative thoughts. If you're feeling negative ions, you'll feel positive thoughts. It's as simple as that. So even though we have individual feelings going on inside the body by hormones, the attitude of those feelings can be positive or negative. You can have all kinds of energy and use it for a negative purpose, or you can use it for a positive purpose. Depends on your attitude. Depends wholly on your attitude. So attitude comes in there. Well, the pyramids having a negative ion effect, the least thing they can do when you wear them is at least keep you positive all the time, especially the little gold ones. Now, let me show you something on the board over here. Okay. I got a tranquilizer. I'm going to raise my energy up a whole bunch. Falling asleep while I stand up here. I have my tranquilizer on. Okay. Here is hemoglobin. Now, hemoglobin is the red blood cell. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4. It looks like an Alka-Seltzer tablet when viewed, you know, jet intake like that. Looks like that. It's in my book, pictures of it. It goes down through the arteries like a corkscrew, and it takes in CO2 and leaves in the wake of its path oxygen. Okay, that's what it leaves. So it takes in CO2 and leaves oxygen, and it goes like a Roto-Rooter through there. Now, that's the way it should work. So looking at it, it's divided up into 4 octahedron. That's the center of the hemoglobin. That's iron. See, it looks like this. Same thing again. So these are made up of iron. Now, if you were to take a piece of raw iron, fresh iron, and hold it out in the, get it wet and lay it down somewhere, in a few hours it would oxidize and rust. Okay? That's exactly what this iron is supposed to do inside the body. In the presence of CO2, it tries to grab that and oxidize. And in the presence of oxygen, it's supposed to give off its rust and convert it over and pick up some more oxygen. So to help it do that, I mean, this is a living piece of iron now. It's plain old iron, but it's suspended in a protein base. It has these little amino acids connected to it, 141 of them per cycle. And so it's like a huge fan. This thing rotates like that and just goes like a corkscrew with 4 sections. The front sections is called the alpha chain. The back is the beta chain. And that's how hemoglobin works. Okay? Chemically, it goes from a +2 to a +3 valence. So it moves right along on its course throughout the blood, throughout the body. But the iron will charge either way. You can send it in to do a job backwards by breathing a positive ion, and it goes in, dumping off CO2, grabbing oxygen, and taking out the oxygen, which is another thing that positive ions do. That's why you feel suffocated. You know, people that are in positive ion, first thing they start feeling is vertigo, closed in, because it's working in their body backwards. It's taking all the oxygen out and leaving CO2, because it'll do that. You know, hemoglobin is free. If you don't believe me, cut your finger and watch it come out. And when it comes out, you'll see it oxidize. It turns brown and then real dark, you know, black eventually, dried blood, right? Because it's doing its thing. But if you're full of positive ions, it does it backwards. So you begin to understand on a chemical level what's going on now in the hemoglobin in relationship to pyramid energy. Pyramid energy always keeps the center of the hemoglobin at a minus. So it's always at a minus. Now, the next thing we can do is, now how does it do that? Somebody says, how does it do that? How does the pyramid do that? I made a hell of a statement there. Well, I'll explain that in 1 second. And I asked that question because I was waiting for it to be asked, but I didn't think, thought maybe someone might. Now, there's a negative ion generator that you see over here. The negative ion generator gives pressure. It helps circulation because it pushes. It gives the hemoglobin an additional push as it goes through. So the pyramid charges up the nucleus on a negative. The ion generator pushes this thing through and also aids the pyramid to build that charge up. So they work together. Well, to understand how the pyramid is able to get a negative charge on here, which is a form of life force, the consciousness, which I'll show you in a minute, we've got to look at something called a vitality globule. Now, the vitality globule is a particle that exists inside the negative ion. This is a charged negative ion. Now, there's negative ions and charged negative ions. Vitality globules come to us from the sunlight, direct. You can look up in the sky and see little sparkling going on sometimes. That's the vitality globules. They're strongest from early morning, you know, about mid-morning till a little after lunch. That's the strong time. And you'll find a lot of people find high creativity and assimilation of books and reading and so on during those times. The absence of vitality globules is during 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning. And as a result of the absence of the vitality globules, natural life, natural death takes place then for most people. That's the natural, the highest mortality rate. And babies, of course, are usually born less in that time and more towards the early evening or the early morning or something, you know, late morning, so on. Especially around 3 o'clock in that area, it's very low, the life force. So statistics have shown that in orthodox studies that these cycles are very important. Well, obviously that is a growing force. And we found that the pyramid, placing a pyramid over a plant, for example. Now this plant, let's say we place it over a plant, the plant requires sunlight, meaning vitality globules. Normally they come in line of sight. So what happens is, if you take a plant that requires sunlight out of the sunlight, it should, by normal means, die, or at least shrivel up and blow away, go where plants go. Well, we found that taking plants that require large amounts of sunlight and placing them in total darkness, not partial darkness, but total darkness, and in controlled experiments where you had the same size plants to start with, and placing a control group out in the sun, the ones in the pyramid in the dark would outgrow the ones in the sun, 2 or 3 to 1, you know, in total darkness. Now, that's pretty sad, because that's telling us now that we've goofed up our air so much. It should be at least a 1 to 1. But the pyramid winning 3 to 1, that's sad. I mean, it's exciting to know that, but the ones in the sun, they should get some healthy sun. But they don't. You see what I'm saying? The sun isn't healthy anymore because the atmosphere is so goofed up and the ions are so bad that the plants are fighting with everything, just like we are. Well, they're all fighting. So this is how a pyramid worn on the head, if it can do that to a plant, then I know my life force in my body, the plant, that's a mesosphil cycle. It takes place in the digestion is what they call the stomata of the leaf, and the chlorophyll is, the plant doesn't have iron, it has the chlorophyll in it. The chlorophyll responds like a hemoglobin in this study. So here is the pyramid charging up these different molecules of hemoglobin in each globin, you know, each heme. So this is a heme-to-heme reaction. Now out in the edge where this hits the cell wall, where this thing hits, there's a lubricating thing going on with minerals once again. And I won't go into that. It's called salt bridges. You can read about that in the book. I don't want to get all the way into hemoglobin. I wrote a chapter on it that's pretty interesting. It explains all this. Somebody have a question? Yeah. On a plant? Well, I'll show you a videotape on where we're raising ferns in a pyramid in partial sunlight and a flower shop. Is that a videotape for that? I'm going to show some tapes after a while. You're going to actually see some pyramids. You're not going to take my word for it. In other words, you're going to see a couple of hours of presentations here of what pyramids are all about, because I'm going to let you see it. Because we televise a lot of our work at this point. So we'll show you. Now, we have 4 different kinds of pyramids. One type of pyramid to wear on the head always gets rid of headaches. You know, the headache is nothing more than too much electrical input causing a seizure of the carotid artery, which then regulates the blood pressure in the head. So if you had heard too much and saw too much and ate too much during the day, you might have an electrical imbalance which raises the blood pressure, which causes a cranial cramping of the gray matter into the nerves on the bone, so you get a migraine. So the pyramid balances all that out and it goes away. Now, we have 3 different pyramids here besides the pyridome, the balancing, that often produce headaches. They produce them in me all the time in the very beginning. Now they don't, unless I'm really highly toxic. Now let's see why they do that, why they produce headaches. Here we have a very delicate structure Okay? Here's a very delicate structure. Now, it's a rotating fan, right? What happens if we throw some gravel in there? Right? What if this is like a fan, a four-stage fan, like an air compressor in a jet engine. It sucks in CO2 and leaves oxygen, whereas on a jet it would suck in the oxygen and leave CO2, right? But it's doing a purpose here, and it has to move. It moves. What happens if you throw a bunch of rocks in there? It isn't going to move anymore, right? It's going to get stocked up, or it's going to carry those rocks through with it and dump them off somewhere, right? That's what the blood does. Take a nice bit of tobacco in your system and fill this baby up with some tar, because that's a very delicate molecule there, and it gets the brunt of that tar. Well, I smoked for 5 years. I know where the tar goes. The arterial system of the body is very large until you get to the cerebellum. When you reach the cerebellum, the wire size is reduced to microns, almost, millionths of an inch, from maybe a quarter of an inch in the trachea, down through here. And pow, it's got to go through this filter network called the brain, because the brain has the smallest arteries in the body, the very smallest one. So, what happens is, we start to pollute the cerebellum first with toxic habits. The same thing goes with formaldehyde and preservatives in food substance, because it enters the blood rather than the lungs, the digestive tract down in the small intestine producing carbohydrates. It still goes up here to the cerebellum.
When it gets to the cerebellum, it starts to filter. So the base of the brain, the cerebellum, is the filter. You start building up toxins there. Now the cerebellum, what it does is, on the physical level, on the consciousness level, it's a balance. It's a part of our bodies that allows us to balance. You can stand here and you can just balance, or you can bend over, do anything that's necessary and keep your balance. But you'll find that as people get older, some people can't even bend over and touch their toes anymore. They can't do simple yoga exercises, keeping their feet parallel and squatting, because all these are balance functions that become impaired because of gradual loss of the cerebellum. That's number one. The next thing that happens is this toxic buildup goes up into the midbrain and forebrain, and you get gradual loss. Then you get the endocrine gland breakdown, which causes poor metabolization, which causes disease, contradiction with God. And finally, you get senility when it reaches the fore part of the brain. The person can't even remember who they are anymore. These are gradual degenerative diseases produced by taking on toxins of the body and storing them in the brain. That's how you lose your form, okay? That's what happens. It's called aging. You start aging because you react to stress rather than act against stress. And all this goes on. Well, the fire dome, the ray dome, and the power dome, when worn on the head, have a reversing effect of cleaning this brain out. See, wheatgrass oil won't clean that out. You know, fasting won't clean that out. Drink all the water you want, it doesn't get to the brain. But what happens is the pyramid is like a beating on a pipe. You know, if you take a plumber and he starts beating on a pipe, and you open up the tap and the rust comes out, right? Well, the vibrations of the pyramid causes a gradual release of all these toxins, and it goes down to the liver. Now, I had tremendous problems because I was a heavy smoker when I worked at NASA. And then about 7 years later, after I did a non-smoker, I started wearing the fire dome, started detoxifying my brain, and started passing nicotine and tar in my urine. I hadn't smoked in 7 years, and my urine is dark. You know, it smells like tobacco. I hadn't smoked in 7 years because all that was in my brain. You know, I was one of the first to go through that. Now, the next thing that happens is this. When you get too many toxins going to the liver says, hey man, I can't handle this, stop, you're killing me. Well, you're not killing the liver, just take the pyramid off and drink some water and take some vitamin C and put it on the next day and start again. You've got to work through it. Now remember, the liver is the fastest regenerating organ in the body. The skin is the largest organ, but the liver is the fastest regenerating organ in the body, okay? So the liver, you're not hurting it, it's called a friendly headache when you get those headaches. Now, the next thing that happened was, this happened to me, and it's happened to other people too, is that after a while of going through this gradual detoxifying effect by wearing a pyramid every day, when I could wear it, is that my mind started clearing, my balance came back. I was able to balance physically, but my mind started to work again. I started remembering things I'd forgotten. Suddenly I remembered how I felt in high school. And I remembered how I felt in high school. I lost 35 pounds. I went down to 155 at the time, back up to 165 now, but I was maintaining 155 from 100, almost 80, which wasn't a bad drop. So I lost some weight. A tremendous amount of weight was lost. Then I remembered how I felt in high school. Then I remembered how I felt in grade school. And I started remembering things. My memory opened up. I remembered all the way back. And then I started remembering past lives. So that gave me what you would call an expansion in consciousness. That's the only way I can physically explain. Because I'm a very pragmatic person. I didn't believe in pyramid energy 15 years ago. And now I'm teaching it until I was totally exposed to it because I was a great skeptic. But this is how I actually saw in my own form my consciousness and my mind expand. Now, if you want to know where I've expanded to, well, I'm continually expanding because I continually wear, but you'll find I possess a slight bit of knowledge today on many subjects, and I can go on and ground it out more and more because it keeps opening up things. I don't even have to search for it anymore. It comes from within now. If I need to answer a question, I just wait for a minute and the answer comes, and I speak it, and it's usually right, you know. Sometimes it's wrong, and then I get the right answer, but it comes one way or another. This happens to everybody that wears one of these things. Now, some people put the thing on, they don't get headache. Well, they're lucky. They weren't abusing themselves. I was born with polio. I had appendicitis. I had an appendix removed. I had a bad colon. I had every disease, sinus problems when I was a kid. I had to work through a lot to get where I'm at now. I'm still working through it, but at least I've worked through an awful lot to get to this point. And the pyramid definitely helped me an awful lot. Now, of course, the pyramid is not the answer. It's just it's a tool. I mean, exercise is important. Vitamins, nutrition, communication, all these things are important. This is just part of it, okay? Now, let me show you the individualized feelings now. Go ahead. Okay, now, we talked about attitude. Okay, I'll focus a little bit more, I think. Attitude is what we've looked at now, okay? But now let's look at the rest of the body and how individual feelings come from. Individual feelings come from the secretions of hormones into the bloodstream. If it's in the morning and you want to get going, you've got to have adrenaline in the body. So get up, drink coffee, exercise, meditate, whatever it takes, but the physical effect that happens on the body is adrenaline goes to the brain. Then you get up and get moving, okay? But now let's look at a hormone for a second and see what it is. And what time is your lunch or dinner around here?
6:30.
Okay, we got plenty of time then. Now, here's how we get to a hormone. This is where it's important to understand from the colon. First of all, if the colon is clean, we digest minerals. Okay, we digest minerals. This allows us to metabolize. Well, first of all, when we digest minerals, then we are able to produce enzymes. That's number two. Okay, so we have enzymes. So number one is minerals. Number two, we have enzymes. Then minerals and enzymes coupled together allow us to metabolize vitamins. So we go 1, 2, 3. Vitamin, we have minerals, enzymes, and vitamins. We have number four, we have protein. We're able now to assimilate protein. A lot of people say, oh, he's protein deprived. You know, he's a vegetarian, he's protein deprived. Most vegetarians are not protein deprived, most vegetarians are mineral deprived. Okay? 90% of the vegetarians I've ever met in my life were mineral deprived. But there was a lack of protein in their body because of that. Proteins combine and produce hormones. Example. In the pituitary gland, you have vasopressin. Vasopressin is a combination of two proteins, lysine and arginine. Those two proteins, when connected together, squirt in the brain, make you want up, get up, and go. If you don't got vasopressin, you don't have no motivation. You're one of these that just sits around against the wall and just don't happen. Okay? It's a protein, vitamin, mineral, enzyme, and hormone deficiency right down the line. Okay? Now, these different pyramids that we develop stimulate the production of hormones, and they stimulate, we can turn these glands off and on. We can make you We can increase your attention span. We can shorten. We can put you to sleep. We can do anything we want. We can turn the body off and on like switches because we do it by controlling the endocrine glands on one level. And I'll show you how that is. Go to the next slide now. Yeah, that's pretty good. Focus the body. Now let's look at how the endocrine glands work. Okay, let's take any endocrine gland. Well, in this case, we're looking at pancreas. Now, first of all, an endocrine gland is a ductless gland, meaning that it doesn't have a pipe going from it, and it pipes the hormone right out into the blood. The endocrine system is more like a capillary. When you're tense or tight, it shuts off, and nothing comes out. When you relax, it expands, and the hormone gradually filters itself through the body and reaches the blood and goes to the brain. Of course, drugs speed this process up. For example, look at what cocaine does, right? Cocaine relaxes the pituitary gland and relaxes the adrenal gland simultaneously, so you get an adrenaline and a vasopressin rush. So most people, like if they're playing around with, say, Peruvian flake, for example, Peruvian flake has a particular characteristic of producing a larger amount of vasopressin in relationship to adrenaline, whereas Bolivian flake will produce a larger amount of adrenaline than vasopressin. So one gives you a physical rush and some euphoria, and one gives you less physical and more of an euphoria. So this is, I did tremendous drug research, so this is what happens. But it does it fast because the drug stimulates the adrenaline, which gets the blood going, so as soon as it gets a blast over here, it shoots right up in the brain, and you get it right now. Pyramid energy doesn't work as fast, but over a long period of time, it's much more effective, and you get much higher, because it keeps you there.
First of all, you have to be muscle tested to find out where... First of all, you have to be muscle tested to find out where in the hydrogen chain you're weak. What color are you weak in? Then what we have to find out, once what color you're weak in, we find out which metal that you want to transmit the color to with. You can use gold, you can use the zinc cadmium, which absorbs radiation, or you can use silver. We use three different elements of receptors, three different vibratory base rates of receptors to amplify 1 to 7 colors into your system. And that sets your aura field up on a higher frequency. What happens is when the receptor receives energy, and all of the energy is coming from within because it has pyramids on it, it sends the energy out to the filter stone. The filter stone then transmits it back through this hole in the center. The backside of it has what's called a Yanan mantram on it. It's also known as a microwave trap. It absorbs radio frequencies that the body doesn't want. This then comes down onto the body, comes in one field, is perfectly in tune, and brings the whole brain switching frequency and that color range back into tune, which then gradually the rest of the hydrogen atom will follow suit. That's what the nuclear receptor does, and that's why it's called the nuclear receptor, okay, because it works on the nuclear membranes. Pyramids, when you wear them, this is some of the things, and I will show you some of these slides, because I got to run out of time here so quick, you know, at least I could go over a little bit, because we started a little late. When you get into pyramids, wearing them, sleeping in them, you're dealing with a structure that has the same energy in it, but not like a receptor. Now you're just dealing with one massive amount of that life force like we experienced when we were rubbing our hands together. The first application that we had with these, get down here and show you the right chart, was wearing them on the head years ago. What we found, and I wasn't the one that put them on people's head, a doctor down in Newport Beach did, when he did muscle testing and found that the pyramid energy and the vitamin energies were the same. One pyramid had all the same vibrational frequencies as a vitamin. And he started putting it on people's heads in 1974. And the reason that they work so well is that when you breathe air in, it goes down into the lungs, down through the aorta valve of the heart, immediately the air is mixed with the blood, and it comes up in the bloodstream to the base of the brain. The arterial size of the arteries going into the brain is very large, up to 1/4 of an inch. As soon as it gets to the brain, this is all the blood in the body now. As soon as it gets to the brain, the cerebellum receives it. And the arterial size of the cerebellum and the rest of the brain is not a quarter of an inch, not an eighth of an inch, it's a millionth of an inch. And if you remember back there in that drawing where I showed you that what a red blood cell is, it's got 700 and some odd amino acids, four iron atoms. It's very complex. Add 400 or 500 chemicals to it, carry it up to the base of the brain, reduce it from a quarter of an inch to a millionth of an inch, and you've got a perfect strainer, or the brain becomes a perfect filter. The liver doesn't see that, because the liver doesn't get the blood till after it goes through the brain. Why? Because the brain needs that oxygen. So those synapses can fire off to keep that electrical field going. You've got a lot of that. You've got a nuclear power plant in your head, if your brains are working right. And if it goes off, then you become a serial killer or something, you know. So you got to keep that. You don't want to reach critical mass. So what happens over a very short period of time in this toxic environment, the brain starts filling up. And first, it gets the cerebellum. The cerebellum, you can't even stand on one foot and touch the ground anymore. You just completely lose it. Remember how we used to play hopscotch? How many of you can still even play hopscotch? Because your balance is gone. Then it hits the midbrain. When it hits the midbrain, endocrine dysfunction. You become allergic to everything. You become anemic to everything. Allergies, everything flare up. And then when you get to the pituitary and the pineal gland, senility, loss of consciousness. You start spacing out all over the place, you know. So when you wear a pyramid on your head, depending on which one you're wearing, it pulls all this garbage out of your head and sends it down to the liver, and pretty soon your brain starts to get clear again. Now, I cannot do this lecture like I did today for a whole year and not look at a single note, put this pyramid on, and do it immediately, because I've done it like that, and not forget a thing, because immediately it just focuses the whole aura field back onto the head, and immediately everything becomes clear again. Because I wore these things for almost 8 or 9 years, every day, in public, everywhere, when I first started wearing them, to get the effect of it and make sure it worked properly. Now, literally millions of people have worn them all over the world, and they get the same results. However, when you're wearing them on your head, a lot of times you get a headache from them, okay? Except for the little gold ones that we make, but the other ones you get a headache. And the reason you're getting a headache is so many toxins are coming out of the brain so fast. And if there's any smokers, they're getting lots of nicotine coming out. People that are having the alcohol will get acetaldehyde formations coming out, and they'll produce some alcohol, which is lying dormant in the dry chemical form. So this gives you a headache. It's like a giant hangover. So you have to take the pyramid off, take vitamin C, and drink water, lots of water, and then the headache goes away and put it back on again. It takes about a year to detox the brain. It's the only way I've found of doing it. All right, I didn't touch on music. Another area that we're into is sound. Sound is very important. Matter of fact, Glenn Fisher is here from the East Coast. He was my sound engineer on two of my albums. Sound is getting down into the cells, to vibrate the cells. You've got to have sound. So we took a Pleiadian ship from Switzerland, and we broke the sound down. In that, we learned about timbre. Timbre is the difference between a piano playing middle C and a violin playing middle C. When we found out about timbre, we found that certain timbre, when stimulating into the cells with the receptor and all these other things, brought an emotional release stored, trapped in the cells, and a tremendous euphoria, which is really important to trigger forward positive reactions. And when this happened, we created sound. Well, some of the instruments that do that automatically would be like the sitar. Sitar, strangely enough, came from the rishis, were given to the Brahmins, were the rishis from the Pleiades. It's a Pleiadian instrument. The violin will do it. Certain flutes will do it. But other instruments won't do it. Okay? So we found that we had to amplify this, and with the bringing in of new sounds like the arithmetic synthesizer from Roland, subtractive synthesizers from Korg, and all these different mathematical synthesizers that were coming out with multi-timbral abilities, programming them with the Pleiadian element, we were able to create an enlightening sound that didn't take a sitar player beating his brains out all night long on a raga just to get you up a little bit. We created a sound spectrum that would take you right on out. So we began to create albums. We created the first album, which was called the Fellowship album. And Fellowship Alum is laced with a Pleiadian ship all the way through it. It's a ride to the Pleiades and back with all the special effects. And your body will actually go on a ride to the Pleiades. Our second album was Atlantis Rising. Atlantis Rising, we used sampled whale sounds, dolphin sounds. And we took you into the sea. We taught it in the J card, which is a little card inside. It tells you all about the grays coming in and shortening our lifespan 12,000 years ago. Because you remember the time of Methuselah? You know, we lived longer. The grays came the last time around and made sure that we lived less time so we wouldn't have a long attention span to fight them with so well. The next album we did was with Stephen Halpern. Stephen and I did an album called Higher Ground, and we hooked into the Gaia frequency, 8.2 hertz. It's got this boom, 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 boom. You put that on at night, become one with the earth, get the ELF waves out. And then we did Galactic Meditation with Werner Ahrens in Germany, where we used Japanese bowls and synthesizers in the Pleiadian ship. And so that was four albums that we did, and now we're working on a fifth, where it was just a little bit more commercial. So you get an idea of sound. And we use the sound and the color and the lasers, and we combine our systems technologies. I have to skip through here because we're going to run out. So I have to turn the lights completely off now. I'm going to run this off. Well, this device right here, by the way, is the anti-ELF device I was talking about, the smaller version of it. I think we have one down in our booth down there. You connect that into your ground wire, and you connect it into your wire on your outside of your, you ground it in the earth. This is a larger version of it here for bigger structures. Our house had so much ELF in Laguna, we had to use a couple of them. These are different devices. In my tape series and my books and our literature, it explains these things. We have private seminars in Laguna where everybody gets to experience this stuff. This is we mine quartz. This is a master crystal. Our systems work with the nature spirits as well as the extraterrestrials. This is called an Omnion. Sannyasa gave me this device in 1981. This is an interdimensional device working on the fourth dimension. These are some of the different projectors that we use when we're not using lasers. When we do some seminars in remote locations, I'll play a live concert and we'll have people experience different energy grids of different devices during the seminar itself. We teach you how to program a crystal, for example, and how to program a system. That guy with the three hands back there is me moving very fast. The device that's in front of this guy here is called a Firestar, and that's an ET communication device. It's a very powerful meditation device. We put these all over the world. When you get more into our systems, we start networking with you. Once you start having experiences, you'll have a particular group or a family of experiences. And then we start networking people. And we've got a worldwide network consisting of thousands of people that are doing all kinds of amazing things on this planet. This is a system that Maitreya had originally. He's got a booth here. I don't think he's in Tibet right now. Our systems are now in Tibet, and we're in the Kathmandu temple, and the Dalai Lama is using all our systems. Dalai Lama originally became acquainted with our systems in 1983 when this system was put in Hawaii. It's a systems three with a master crystal, and he took Ron to, his name was Ron Spencer, then he took him to Tibet for 6 months, because this was on television. The Dalai Lama happened to be in Hawaii at the time. Now he's permanently, this little child was one of his kids that was born in the system. One in the little picture there, and there's a fire start. So these systems are being totally endorsed by the Tibetans now, and they're going to be in all the temples in Tibet very soon. We're shipping stuff over there all the time. In fact, it's one of the devices that came from there, I didn't even get to talk about it, was one of these dorjis, which is this thing here with a man-made crystal in it. Two receptors on each end, and that's a whole other device. Remember what somebody asked about cable box? Cable box, remember that? Okay, this is an illusionary, this is out of Scientific American, this picture came from. It's called a Kinesa triangle. Now, to the first, if you're programmed like most people are, what you're going to see is a white triangle there. If you're deprogrammed, or if you, I consciously tell you what to do and you let yourself go a little bit, you'll see that triangle disappear, and you'll see three little black triangles and three little Pac-Men, and that white triangle won't be there anymore. Okay? And that's called dispelling the illusion. Remember in Glastonbury and King Arthur's time, you know, if you crossed the lake, Avalon Lake, you could end up in a Benedictine monkery, or you could end up in the city of Avalon with the white witches. Same geographical location, different dimension. Back in those days, they didn't have ELF running around the planet, and you could split the ethers on the ground and have a different result. As commercialism came in, and the Club of Rome came in, which started the Tri-Lads, this programming started to come in. During the Hitler's time, the verbal propaganda came along, and all these things gradually detuned the human psyche, where you can no longer see what's called the second ether, which is part of the physical plane, where Shambhala exists over the Gobi Desert, which used to be the Gobi Sea. So we have a device called the Champagne Reflector, which breaks this down, and you run it with a laser and a timer. So when the sun sets, the laser comes on, and it sets, and it breaks the spell. And I'll show you how powerful this device is here in the next slide or two. Okay, now this is our house in Laguna, working out the balcony, where when we do a seminar down there, everybody comes, and they go in for a ride in the system. This is the view that you have. We're on top of a volcano. And this is the vortex where the system on it, that we've had Tibetan masters there, Sai Baba's been there physically, we've had Andromedans there, Pleiadians there, working this vortex. And in our living room, which is a whole story of how that came to be, which is three stories up on the house, is the center of this vortex where this huge system is. And we take people for basically rides. This is one of our systems. The Champagne Reflector is this unit sitting up here with this giant crystal in it. I developed this when I was living in Germany.
What do you mean by ride?
Well, it's basically a ride. You know, that's the only way I can describe it. You kind of go somewhere. Yeah, this is a system getting fired up. We've got radiators, there's all kinds of radionic, Pleiadian equipment, some Andromedan stuff. We use 6-watt lasers. We use many different types of lasers and scanners, which we make available. When you finally get the systems, some of you will have this. You'll have an environment. And believe me, there's a lot of people on this planet that have these systems. A lot of very creative music is created in these. The Shake, Rattle, and Hum album from U2 was created in here. A lot of Genesis music was created in here because one of their producers uses all our systems in his studio. I mean, movie people use this stuff. Politicians, housewives, I mean, farmers. I got farmers in Europe using this stuff. It's all over the world, and they're all networked. I mean, literally, there's thousands of systems out there, not just one. This is the Champagne Reflector. This is a device that deprograms you, but it's also the nucleus of the system because it breaks down the entire system. In your body, when you live in a building for so long, your body releases amino acids. These amino acids embed themselves in the wall. And what happens is, when these amino acids are trapped in the wall, if you sanctify the area, it allows the astral plane barrier to come down. When the astral plane barrier comes down, then spirits or beings from the astral plane can clothe themselves in this amino acid residue which is in your walls, and they become seen. And this clothing process is called ectoplasm. And so here the device is being fired on with a laser. It's got a crystal in it. Part of it's going up into white light. Here you see a whole ectoplasm still coming off. There's two mirror balls up there. The one unit is here, one unit is here, and this whole thing, that whole spill. Ectoplasm. This was done by a German photographer who specializes in these. He's the kind of the guy that go down to the Queen Mary and photograph the little girl that cries. It's, you know, that kind of, this guy is tuned into this stuff. So a lot of people see this anyway in the system when it's running. Oh, they're used for protection, communication, you know. They can be used for anything. You know, when you get into the science of this technology, it's unlimited, believe me. And I've got plenty of references. If you ever need any references and you get serious about a system, I've got loads of them. Now, in this particular sequence, the energy got up so high that you see up in the Champagne Reflector, this Deva came through. You can see the wings on it. This is quite common. Wings came and this little angel kind of being flew out. In the next slide you can see the being. We zeroed in, we caught that. This guy's very fast, and he zeroed right in on the next slide. You can see it as it came out of the champagne reflector. It came out, but see, there wasn't enough intensity in the room to hold it in form. So as it came out of this, moving over it this way, it began to dissipate and no longer could maintain its shape. And that happens a lot. It's quite common to see, you'll contract the shape of something for maybe 2 or 3 feet. But just living in an environment like that, and then as the energy goes higher up, the walls start to become transparent. You can start seeing right through the walls in some cases. You'd have to see the setup on how it goes. Okay, you can turn the lights on now. A little bright. This is in Laguna Beach. We have a seminar in July and one in May annually that people come down there. It's a 2-day seminar right in a volcano down in South Laguna. Don't turn it on, plug it, let it cool down a little bit. Okay, we're going past time now. Well, that's normal. You guys have any questions or anything? We've covered quite a bit. This is kind of like an intro into the science and what's going on. I have a tape series right here. It's got 17 hours. It's like a ride, sojourn into this, you know. You can get this. Got a video in it with Area 51. Shows the crop circle, the energy of the crop circle, how they're made. I've written some books. One's called The Promise. They're bringing some more out. They ran out of them before the show. We do a lot of seminars. You know, we'll do one in May. We'll do one in July. Oh, down at our booth. We're at booth 413, if you want to come down. Yeah. Well, how did I get all this information? Well, it's a long story, but I started when I was about 5 years old, and it just came continuously on and on and on and on. You know, it wasn't just an overnight process. Yeah. The devices started in 1973. Yeah, there was only one pyramid in those days. Yeah. What? Come to one of the seminars. Yeah. Well, if you want to get some hardcore facts on it, you can call Washington, D.C., Executive Intelligence Review, and get the Marks of 81 issue. And there's a whole article in there on the Haig Kissinger depopulation policy, and they'll send you a copy of it free. Well, that's the game they play. That's the outside. That's the way it works. Okay, well, we got to get out of here because the next group needs to come in. Thank you very much. Oh, you have a question? What? Some temples do. Energy in the temple. That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever color you feel it, just get that in mind. Yeah. And whatever you feel, though, you just got her silver. You got the guy in the same color. Oh, yeah, you're a little darker, a little more masculine. A couple of bucks in there.
Coming down to the booth later, Greg?
Yeah,
we'll be down in a little bit. 15
Good thing for 10
Yeah.